Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Talent Game Podcast. I've just come back from Pocket Gamer Connect in London, and my voice is a bit croaky, so bear with me today. But today, we have Matt Herndon as a guest on the podcast. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me. I am excited. This is the first podcast I've done in a while. I'm coming out of retirement, just for you, Joe. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you come out of your winter hibernation to chat to me, and I really appreciate that. But thanks. Yeah. And so, Matt, we've known each other for quite a while. I don't imagine people listening would have heard of you as well. But just to be safe. For those who haven't heard of you before, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Matt. Matt Herndon. Most recently, I was a senior recruiter, senior talent acquisition specialist at Activision Blizzard King. Was made through the Microsoft redundancies, left there at the end of October. Been in recruitment for what seems like 45 years, but I think it's about 9 years or something like that. I have a puppy, Teddy. Yeah, so he's just saying hello there. And we'll go into more details later.
We have that in common, in that we both have puppies called Teddy, which was, I thought was quite funny. I think we got them about a month apart from each other as well, Puppies are a good chaotic addition to any household. Highly recommend. Great. Well, hey, I'd love to know what you're playing right now. Like, are you taking advantage of your time off to play games, or perhaps are you detoxing from that? But either way, what are you playing right now?
Yeah, so I'm a big mobile gamer. I don't know if you and me have talked about this before. So I am playing. This is really a cliche, but I am playing Candy Crush. I love Candy Crush. It's really easy. It's really simple. I can play it, you know, on the train. I can play it when I'm just relaxing. And honestly, for me, it's a better way to spend time than just, you know, scrolling on social media. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a bit of that. But probably my favorite game at the moment is another mobile game, Angry Birds. I absolutely love Angry Birds. I don't know how, I don't even want to check my screen time for like what it's been over the past, you know, since I left Activision, but it's been pretty up there. But yeah, again, just really simple. I've loved it for years. I've played it for years. I'm a big mobile gamer. For me, it's just easy to just have it there and just get it out. Yeah, it limits the social media screen time as well, which for me is a big deal. So yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think we ever have talked about mobile again, but it makes sense. You know, you worked at King and you're still playing Candy Crush. On the mobile side, my game that I always return to, much how you've been playing those two games for a long time, Marvel Snap is always the game that I come back to, because I love, and to be honest, I do like trading card games and CCGs and TCGs. Yeah. And the competitive side, because there's PvP, right? But I think in terms of new mobile games that I'm exploring and experimenting with, Arch Hero 2 just came out. I'd have to actually check my phone to see what I'm dabbling. There was a D&D mobile game, because I love Dungeons and Dragons. My favorite game from last year was Blatro, which was, I played it on console, but actually been back revisiting that on mobile again. So there you go.
Mobile games.
Love it. Nice. Well, hey, so we just mentioned there that you used to work at King, and you mentioned that in your intro. I'd love to know like how you got into the games industry initially, and how long have you been in the games industry as well? I guess it would be a follow-up question.
Was in, and hopefully we'll be back in at some point, but about 3.5 years in the game industry. I got my first job in games in June of 2021, and I guess I like 3 days after my birthday or something, so it was a nice little present. But Yeah, I basically got into games because I was working. I've been working in recruitment. I've been working in that agency for a few years, and I felt ready to. And any recruiters or agency recruiters may relate to this, but wanted to try something else. Wanted to go internal. And to be completely honest, at the time, so the market was in crazy for recruiters at the time. So I did go into games at like a very, very good time. That was, I think, there was a time period where. It was either then or slightly afterwards that recruiters were more in demand for software engineers or something, which is just...
I was just thinking that with 2020, now the recruiter was the top job of 2021.
Which is
absolutely... 40 days.
So I definitely was looking at a good time. And when I initially actually saw a job for King, It was a senior recruiter, senior talent acquisition specialist. And I wondered, honestly, if an agency, if just coming from an agency, if they'd kind of take that level of, recruiter, or if I'd have to, if it would just kind of, you know, have to go in at a lower level. But it was also a maternity cover. So it was a 9-month contract. So I thought, well, probably that's not like as attractive to someone who's like maybe been in the industry a bit or is kind of at a slightly higher level, whatever. So I just honestly, kind of on a whim, I was like, oh, it's King. And then I was like, oh, I recognize them. Where do I recognize from? And then I was like, Candy Crush. And I was playing it at the time. And at the time as well, they had a Crash Bandicoot mobile game. And Crash for me is like my all time nostalgic favorite game in the world. So, kind of a bit serendipitous in that sense. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to apply and then I'll see what happens. Long story short, got a call back the next day, interviewed for it, got the role, which I was just, yeah, really, really incredibly happy with and a bit surprised, but probably certainly, not that I couldn't do the role, but certainly the market was in my favor as well at the time. And it was a 9-month fixed term contract, so I thought, well, the absolute worst that's going to happen is I get 9 months, at a really good rep company, and I'll take that somewhere else, who knows where. And the best that can happen is that you not get a full-time job out of it. And then, so I just tried to go in, you know, I tried to, you know, learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible, where you're on 9 months, so you're kind of on a bit of a time limit. I wanted to go in and kind of within, you know, almost, not right away, that's not possible, but almost right away, just be kind of really impactful and managed to get some really good feedback, which was great. And then I got offered, I think it was like a few months into the role, I got offered a full-time role at, because I was just at King at the time, and then I got offered a full-time role at Activision Blizzard King, so I basically was just kind of a bigger role, but it was a full-time role, and I was like, yeah, that's amazing, and yeah, honestly, like, and I just a slightly bit more context, I hadn't honestly really thought about working in gaming before that, because, you know, it seems crazy naive now, obviously, that I've been in gaming, but I just kind of thought, well, yeah, I can't like code, you know, or I'm not like a designer, I'm not like a creative in that sense, so I just didn't even occur to me, you know, and you know, we can talk more about that later, but there's literally probably every role you can think of in any company is also a role in a gaming company. Don't necessarily be like, oh, I need to retrain as a, you know, a developer, a designer, a coder, whatever it is. But yeah, that was essentially, yeah, my journey into gaming when I was there for 3.5 years, and hopefully I'll be back soon.
yeah, great. And yeah, it's just interesting. You're saying joining the games industry when it was booming and high demand for recruiters.
Yes,
and so often I do say that to people about, oh, what's your advice for getting into the games industry? It's like, well, getting into it when it's booming is definitely a good strategy. But it's when it's like the market is not so great right now, then it's often a case of like, what can you do to tee yourself up for when the market corrects and you have a much higher chance of getting into games after that? And so that could be networking or building your brand or getting somewhat relatable experience. Like me and you both come from tech recruiting beforehand, so actually it wasn't, and also we're both gamers, right? So we knew a lot from just that standpoint, so it wasn't much of a learning curve to actually get into a gaming company and start hiring straight away and hit the ground running, right? So there's sort of like that sideways move, which was interesting. So definitely with you on that. So on that note then, like you're a well-known face in the industry, and you've done that within, well, 3.5 years, right? And I've been following your newsletter and I love your posts and things like that. I guess the question about that is, any advice or things that you've learned about being quite visible, building your following over the last few years? Even on that note of, you know, getting into the industry and getting the opportunities you want or whatever it is. So I guess open question about you and your following and your experience there.
No, that's a really good question. Yeah, I started first kind of, I guess, putting myself out there on LinkedIn. I think it was the end of 2022. Because basically internally there was like a push to do like a personal, it was like a personal brand type program. And at the time I was like, I don't really want to like go and talk about myself, you know, I just don't really know what value that has. But then it was more explained that it's actually, you know, it's more just about helping people, you know, with the skills that you have, and particularly obviously LinkedIn. I'm a recruiter on LinkedIn. People look at the jobs. Kind of the market is although everyone's on LinkedIn these days, but the market in particular for that kind of job seeker help, and you know, you'd think that would go down quite well if you do know what you're talking about. I honestly, at the time, it was genuinely just going to be, it was just going to be an experiment. I was just going to say, you know what, I'm going to post literally a few times on LinkedIn. It was kind of coming towards the end of the year anyway. And I was like, I'm going to post a few times a week for like, or a couple times a week for like maybe a month, maybe two, and just kind of see how it goes, you know, and if there's some response, if I just really enjoy it, then, you know, we'll see how it goes. But both happened, which is amazing. And I just was like really surprised at the kind of the response to it. And I was like, wow, I guess people like really need this information or really appreciate this information. And I just really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the interaction. I really enjoyed the engagement. I really enjoyed the just the act of creating a bit of content and putting it out there and seeing the response to it and the, you know, the DMs and all that type of stuff. You know, because sometimes you don't realize how much you know about something because it's obvious to you, right? Because you know it and you're like, well, yeah, of course people know that, but actually that's not necessarily true. And it's actually not true at all in a lot of the cases. So many of the things that I, in my opinion, I was like, oh yeah, like we as recruiters see CVs all the time, we do interviews all the time, we help make offers all the time, whatever it is. And actually, and then people replying and being like, oh my God, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's really useful. And I was kind of like, wow, that's really interesting. And then I think it is important to say as well, like perhaps, not that I don't think, you know, I was doing a good job with the content, but I think the fact that I was with King, that I was with Activision Blizzard King, was people, you know, it naturally kind of obviously went to people in the gaming industry, because those were some of the people I was connected with, or those are the people that are following the kind of Activision Blizzard King pages. And I think having that brand like behind me kind of helped amplify the content as well, because people say, oh, he's a senior TA at Activision and I want to kind of get into gaming. Like, oh, he must know what he's talking about. Hopefully I did at some points or another. But I think that played a part as well in the kind of growth, because it happened quite quickly. Which I definitely didn't expect, but I think that was hopefully it was because of the content as well. But I think it was because of the combination of kind of the, you know, the gaming company and then the content. And honestly, like, you've been on LinkedIn for a while. I don't need to tell you this, but and probably everyone actually listens to this has as well. But there's so much content on LinkedIn, like so much content on LinkedIn that is not, I don't think is very helpful or very valuable. I think it's either about the writer, the author of the post, and it's like, hey, look how great I am, and it's not to say that we can't celebrate promotions or getting a new job. That's not what I'm talking about at all, but it's the kind of posts that are constantly just all about that person. And it's like, and the reason I say that is because I actually think it's, even though there's kind of more content than ever, it's sort of paradoxical, but in a way that makes it easier to stand out, because if your content is genuinely really helpful to people, really valuable to people, or interesting or entertaining, then you can really carve out a niche for yourself as like a person who, so like, let's say you want to get into gaming, for example, you know, even something as simple as, and I don't even know if this is out there. If it is, I don't know if I've either seen it recently or at all, but, you know, even something just as simple as like curating, you know, the top headlines in gaming that week and then kind of inviting discussion, you can almost like position yourself, no matter like what level you're at, no matter what your skill level's at, no matter if you're not in the gaming industry yet, but you're aspiring, you want to get in there, you can like position yourself as someone that people are going to come to and people see as like an authority in the gaming world. It's just like, oh yeah, actually I follow Joe or I follow Matt, and, you know, they post about, you know, they give this really good kind of overview of the gaming headlines, and, you know, and then, you know, 1 week you could, so that could be one post a week. Another post a week could be like your own commentary kind of on that gaming news, and then inviting people to discuss things. And it's like, these are all ways of networking that people don't really talk about as well. It's always like, oh yeah, you need to send a really good DM, or you need to send a DM that's like, you know, doesn't give the recipient any homework, or, you know, you need to send them something that's like says something nice about them or showing that you've done your research. Or you can be like really proactive and posting your own content out there, and then people will gravitate towards you, people come towards you. And I think that's why, like, I haven't been in the gaming industry that long, but yeah, people do seem to, so, you know, that Matt guy from LinkedIn or whatever, because I did put myself out there, and it takes, you know, it might take a little bit of guts or courage, or I won't say stupidity to put yourself out there, but you know what I mean, just putting yourself out there at first, but it's first, actually a really, really good way to get people to you, rather than you always having to kind of go to people and say, hey, I would love like a coffee chat or a networking chat and all that stuff, when everybody's busy and it's not as likely to happen.
Yeah,
you've been online for ages and you got followers all over the place, and like the podcast is like you were saying at the beginning, like that's such a good way, such a good excuse to just kind of reach out to people and just be like, hey, like, do you want to come on the podcast and we can talk about this? And that's already, you already have a huge network in gaming and just in general, but that's probably expanded your network, you know, even further, and even more. And people, it doesn't have to be a podcast, it could be a LinkedIn post, can be any kind of social media, but they can be like, hey, you know, I'm putting together this, you know, I was looking to get a few quotes from gaming leads on this article that I found, would you be willing to, you know, give me your thoughts on that or something? And then you've already got an excuse to like reach out to these people, to reach out to decision makers, and then you're posting it online, you're establishing yourself as an authority. Excuse me. I think being able to offer job seekers tips and stuff, and the content's kind of morphed obviously a bit now, which we can get into as well. And then the other thing was the newsletter, of course, that I would write kind of really much more long form articles about, you know, getting a job and interviewing and CVs and all that type of stuff, which is where, you know, you honestly position yourself as kind of even more of an authority, because you're writing kind of longer form pieces as rather than just these kind of little sound bites, and you're kind of really going into depth and you're doing your research. Like I think some of the pieces I wrote thousands of words long, because they needed to be, because there was just that much information. But then having a newsletter is like, that's kind of another step that you can add rather than just the social media as well. And then, you know, you're also not reliant on algorithms to get your content to reach people. You know, you can send the newsletter. And that can position you as even more of an authority. So, you know, and kind of like we were saying, I think beforehand, like, this is a time where, you know, the gaming industry has been hit extremely hard over the past few years, and you know, when I got into it initially, like I said, it was like absolutely booming. Now it is not absolutely booming. These things do go in cycles. It will change again, but it's like, you know, at the moment, you do need probably every single differentiator that you can have to even have a chance, to be completely honest. You can have all the skills and the experience. There's even really, really skilled and experienced people who aren't getting roles just because there's so many applications. And then people like myself, recruiters, have been made redundant. So there's less people even to look at the applications, you know, these days. So I think that's kind of a very broad and overall answer, and we can obviously expand on stuff about what you can do in terms of a personal brand to like kind of get yourself to the front of the queue when it comes to applicants, just kind of really expanding your network and having a good excuse to kind of reach out to people. And then when the time comes, they might be like, oh yeah, so and so is you know, oh yeah, what's that? That guy Matt from LinkedIn, that guy Joe from LinkedIn. Let's message them and see what they're up to. And then actually, when I did my redundancy post and I was like, hey everyone, like I've been made redundant, and I was like, I'm not looking for kind of work right away. I was fortunate enough not to have to, but I just wanted to like, kind of let people know. I sort of felt because I post content all the time, I kind of owed people that, I suppose. Not that I didn't want to share, but I was like, I do want to like share this part. I think it's important to say it. And then I got so many messages and comments, and people sent me jobs, and people are still sending me jobs, and people are like, oh yeah, I'll keep an eye out for you. And it's whether they're gaming jobs, whether they're tech jobs, whether they're jobs at just other cool companies that I like. You know, and that's without any kind of outbound, because I've kind of done all the groundwork in like building that brand in the first place. Then people, you know, it's less than about people come to you rather than you always having to go to them. So now I'm gonna start.
Hey, thank you for that. I was on mute typing notes throughout the whole time, so I'm gonna attempt at summarizing some of the key points that you mentioned in there. I think first of all, you said it was like coming to the end of 2022, and you're like, I'm just going to post. I'm just going to take that leap and just experiment. Like the worst case scenario, like no one engages with it.
Yeah, and it's like, well,
that's it. Worst case scenario is you post some really, really terrible content and get fired, I guess. But like, as long as it's good intentioned and professional, then I think you should be fine. But you just ultimately just went for it. Like you just post and then it's an experiment. Like you, the only way you get good at writing, in general, but like writing specifically, social posts or you're with the newsletter article is through practice. Like you're obviously a good writer anyway. And I think you had, it's some sort of base level ability, you can tell, but still like you have. And I know this from following you over the years. You've definitely got your voice. It's very recognizable in terms of your tone and the types of stuff that you share. So that's one, like diving in practice. The second one was, I think, finding your niche and your voice, especially the point you made that not realizing that what the knowledge you have and what you have to say is interesting to a lot of people. Because it's just stuff that you just have learned and you just do day to day. So I guess finding that, and I think the easiest way to find that is just by chatting to people that you know, friends, family, telling them, or maybe even just like posting about your job. This is what I do. You maybe even ask, be like, what would people like to know about what I do? And so that's, finding the real gems there. I think another point is like the good karma, right? Like your content has been a lot about trying to help people like pull down the walled garden of the games industry and pull down the walled garden of HR and recruiting and be like, by the way, this is how we review applications. This is how we interview people. This is how we land on hiring decisions. This is the reality of what it is to get a job and everything else. That is amazing, because actually a lot of that is just, data or insight that people just don't have day to day. Like they apply to the job, they don't get the job, they're like, what happened there? or they do get the job and they're like, what happened there?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, either way. So the good karma comes back long term, like you said, with and networking as well, right? Building up that personal brand. So when it comes time to being like, oh, I've, you know, been made redundant, it's like, oh, I've built up years and years of good karma and goodwill through helping out hundreds, thousands of people. And it's like, oh, I need some help now.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, when it comes time to that, people are going to know who you are and they're going to be much more willing to dive in and take you on board. So that's great. I think one last thing I'll mention, and this I've said this a lot from being at other big brands like EA and Epic, and you said this from being at ABK, like use that brand for leverage. Definitely. Like I often say to people, if you're at a big company that is well-respected and well-liked and everything else, and you're not posting on social, then I guess you're missing out on an opportunity to just gather that brand. It tends to be, people realize this after the fact. So they'll be like, ex-Google, ex-Activision, ex-Epic, EA, whatever, and then start trying to post from there. But I guess doing it at the time, obviously, corporates, sometimes you need to sign off. I know you're part of like, I think it was the Game Changer program or something. There was that Activision, but obviously, you know, if your company has policies and stuff, follow them and get sign off. But yeah, if you do, then great. Then you can use that to your advantage to build up who you are and your career. So do you agree with those, a summary of those points there?
I think that's really good. Yeah, I think that's really so good. Yeah. I think just touching on the sort of the good karma piece as well. And it's like, you know, I think if you're genuinely trying to help people, people can see that and they can tell that and they can feel that. I mean, obviously there are also con men out there, but I think in general people know if you're genuinely trying to help. And then it does come back, like in ways that you kind of don't expect and in opportunities that you don't expect. Even this on the podcast, that I would never have like been able to do this if I hadn't just started like posting on LinkedIn and doing this cool thing. And now, you know, let's be honest as well, if somebody, let's just say when, you know, when I'm interviewing again and someone's like, hey, so even if they're not trying to like pat me out, but they're like, so what have you, what have you been up to the past, you know, few months, how's it been being off, like this is a really cool thing I can say I've done, like keep in the industry, you know, keep my knowledge up and keep my network up. I went on, you know, Joe's podcast and we talked about all things recruitment and branding and all sorts. So it's like a really cool thing again to say that you've done. And yeah, I just think that good karma just does build up and like people are all too willing to help because you put so much out there without kind of expecting it back. But yeah, it's also nice that you know one day I can call on it and I can reach out to like, hey, like I would love some help with this. And it's most people are gonna say yes. And I think that's, you know, that's like almost the secret of networking, even though it's like a bit of an open secret, but I just think more people should do it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, for anyone that hasn't followed your content over the years, and what would you say tends to resonate the most, or well, I guess in terms of types of posts and things, or perhaps what insight do you tend to find the most surprising about, I guess, being a recruiter in games or things that you've shared in the past, or maybe are there messages that you have just posted over and over again because you know that either it needs to be reminded or you know it's going to do well. Yeah, what do you think about that?
That's a really, really good one. I think kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit on kind of the recruitment process in general to be like, you know, when your CV gets sent to us, like it is a person looking at the CV, reading the CV. You know, we also might have seen 100 other CVs that day, which is why it needs to be very clean and clear and concise and more of a, you know, marketing document than anything else, not a life history. We just need to be able to look and say, hey, yeah, cool. We need to interview. This would be a great person to interview. That's all a CV needs to be. Yep, we'll interview this person. That's it. And I think people were generally pretty grateful for kind of just the straightforwardness of I suppose I tried to put forward like this, some of the stuff is actually really, really simple. And I think there's some places on LinkedIn and on the internet that really try to overcomplicate this stuff. Usually they have something to sell, not always, but it's not, you know, a course or $10,000 career coaching package, which I have seen, believe it or not. Maybe, you know, some people can afford that, but for the majority of people, yeah, it was just about, I think they were just appreciative of like, thank you for simplifying this is helping a lot. And I think as well, I got messages where people were like, you know, this is actually helping me see where I fall short as well. Cause I tried to, like you tried to, like some of the really good recruiters out there tried to do is like, be honest, you know, you lead with empathy and that, and you're not just saying, oh, you suck and you're never going to get a job and oh, you're doing it wrong and whatever. But it's like, you know, like we said about the gaming world over the past few years, whatever industry, especially when it's an employer's market, which it has been for a couple of years, few years now, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to be like 99% qualified, you know, to even get a look in. Whereas in an employee's market, it could be as low as like, I don't know, 60, you know, like who knows? Like it could be like, oh yeah, like, this person's got a bit of experience we need. That's great. We'll train them up. In an employer's market, it's not the case usually, because they're like, well, we got the pick of the litter. We can just choose the person who's like literally got the perfect experience. And it's like, so, yeah, I think in general, people have been really grateful for that, which is really nice.
Oh, I was just going to say on that, I think there's a tendency to share all of your knowledge at once, like, you know, long posts that have tons of knowledge in. I'm like, if you're going to share your top 10 tips on something, I tend to say, okay, that's 10 posts worth of content right there. How about post one tip at a time and have a really detailed discussion about one small but impactful thing, especially just, you know, people don't have the concentration spans for top 10 tips, you know, anymore.
They just want one tip. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, especially on social media, you want them to be like your little bite-sized thing. That's a great bit of advice there. Yeah, if you've got your top 10 tips, just literally do one per day. Be like, hey, day one of 10, you know, do this. And if you have other forms of content, maybe you can go a bit like, I had the newsletter. That means I can go a lot deeper because the audience is primed to be like, I actually want to read, like, I want to spend 5 minutes reading about this. On social media, you might get 5 seconds. It sounds insane when you say it out loud, but it's like, it's true. Like, if someone's like reading your post and then within a few seconds, they like are not in, then they're just going to be like, whatever, I just don't care. Like, there's too much, too many other things out there.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree on that.
And then the other thing I would say about the content that resonated. So part of the reason I started posting like more of the satire stuff and trying to be funny, but pointing out these like absurdities was partly because of the games industry, right? Because it was like some of the places were just making these like absurd decisions, you know, wherein they were really profitable, had the most profitable quarter or year. Oh, so we're going to lay half of our staff off, you know, and even with Microsoft and ABK, which I probably am allowed to say this now, but, you know, when the whole thing went through, like part of it was like, well, the challenge was you're just going to make a load of layoffs, you know, so we're not really sure this is best for blah, blah. And they were like, no, we're not, you know, we're committed to blah, 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 whatever buzzwords, you know, they said. And then they did. You know, like they made, I think it was last year, it was 2,500 people were laid off. And it was just, so, it, you know, part of the sort of the switch or the kind of, you know, more of a balance between the job seeker stuff and then the satire stuff, the corporate satire stuff was, yeah, honestly, because I was pissed off. I was angry, not just about me, but just for all of us. You know, like in general, for the people who aren't kind of leading and running some of these companies, and some companies, by the way, do a great job, and this is not about them, and that's fine, and those people will know it's not about them, you know. But equally, some of the And then just the talk, you know, when you see some of like the bonuses these people get, and yeah, they've laid loads of people off and nobody else is getting a raise, and it's like they're getting like literally tens of millions of pounds, dollars in bonuses. It's like, this is obscene. Like, how, like, so yeah, that's kind of where it, you know, there's someone, I can't remember who it was, but satire is you know, the weapon of the powerless against the powerful. And that's kind of where it came from, you know, you just standing up for us, for the little guy. And that content resonated very well. And I think it's because why? I think that because there is kind of a collective frustration with how things are being run, how things are being done in the games industry, but just in general, in tech, you know, whatever it is. Amazon have made tens of thousands of layoffs over the past few years, as one example. So yeah, people really resonated with that, and they were like, it's good to, basically, if you don't laugh, cry. That's kind of the message I was getting, you know. I was trying to make it funny and point out these crazy things, but yeah, people seem to appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and I also think LinkedIn's reputation is just full of pretentiousness, you know, as well. Like, it's my favorite social media platform because you can't have anonymous profiles on there. So there's, if you look, compare it to all of the other social media platforms, it's got to have the least amount of toxicity, right? Because you got to say where you work and what your name is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For a start. So that's why I like it for that. But obviously, you know, human beings are very good at sniffing out falseness and pretentiousness. Yeah. And so if you're like posting on LinkedIn, look at me, I'm amazing. People are like, no, they're lucky enough. I think you're scrolling through your LinkedIn feed, and then there's like some great bit of satire from Matt Herndon, just to, you know, contrast all of the other rubbish on there. So that's good. Hey, we are coming to the end of this episode. So before I ask you my last question, I just want to know, is there anything that we didn't get to today that that you wanted to talk about, or any like key message that you wanted to mention at all?
Yes. I think we covered a lot. One thing another thing I would say as well is, you know, let's just say for some reason right now you're not kind of quite ready to like go the sort of the personal brand route and start posting content or posting your own content. Like, the very least you can do, and especially in an employer's market like we talked about, where getting into these kind of really desirable industries, gaming is one, is a lot harder than it otherwise would be. And yes, of course these things flip, but we don't know when. Nobody can definitively say, oh, in June it will all be fine. Like, we don't know. But like, just like, and it's reminding me because I'm on this podcast right now, but like, just be involved in like literally any like gaming community that you can, any non-toxic gaming community that you can. So whether it's like, you know, listening to this, like a perfect thing to do would be like to listen to this podcast, right? They could reach out to you and say, hey, Joe, I loved, you know, this particular guest. It was really cool. Like, great, I don't know, great work in getting them on. Can't wait to hear more. They can reach out to the guests and be like, hey, Matt, you know, wish we could have seen more of Teddy, or, you know, whatever they would have said, but enjoyed what you said, you know. But like, that's like one really sort of like easy win where you can just kind of reach out to people, and it'll probably make them feel quite good if you can mention like a specific thing and be like, hey, yeah, like, really enjoyed the episode. Or like Amir Satvat's community, which he's been on the podcast, like go to that episode, join his community. But like, just like it would be really helpful to just make having a gaming community and gaming people in your life like a very normal thing and a very regular thing and a thing where people are like, oh yeah, I remember so and so was looking for a job in gaming. You know, that can be all it takes, and it can feel like maybe you're relying a lot on serendipity at times, you know, because I'm sort of saying, oh yeah, so and so will kind of remember you. But one, there's no harm in trying to cultivate a bit of serendipity, like, why not? And two, when the market does flip, or even when it doesn't, but you're just going to have all these contacts, and they're going to know that you're there for like genuine reasons, because you just love gaming and you want to get to know them, and it's really cool. And yeah, so I just think being part of communities, listening to podcasts, getting involved, even if you're not ready to kind of do your own thing, is a really good thing to do.
Yeah, I love that. Because you're right, not everyone wants to be blasting out on LinkedIn, but there's so many other ways to engage with the games industry.
Yeah.
Awesome. So my final question for you is, what's your favorite interview question?
Yes.
And that's not podcast interview question. I mean, like, job interview question.
Yeah, it's we talked about this before, and I still honestly don't think I can choose. Right, I'm going to say this first, and then I'm going to give you the worst interview question I was asked, if that's all right, because that's also
I would love that.
Okay, because like we said at the beginning, any question that like allows someone to kind of open themselves up a bit more to me, and we can kind of really get to know each other. So like anything, what I know, kind of like, what are you passionate about, or what lights you up? You know, what do you really love to do when you're not working? What do you do? And then just kind of even dig in more into that. Like, or when did that first start? Or how did you know? Or like, do you share that with anybody else? Do you have a group that you do that with? Like, just something that kind of rounds someone out as a person. I know we all come to work to get paid. Like, and that's fine, and that's great. And we all know that. But yeah, I think I just really enjoy, you know, part of being a recruiter is kind of having the privilege of getting to know a lot of different people, getting to speak to a lot of different people. And you really do meet some really cool, interesting people. And I actually think almost everyone is really cool and interesting, because they've just got something about them that is like, oh, so what are you interested in? What are your hobbies? And then they say this, either it's like a gaming thing, or they say gaming, and then they say something like completely random, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know, extreme ironing or something like that. And you're like, wow, that's actually a thing, which is crazy.
I've seen it.
It's crazy, isn't it? I think anything that just kind of gets someone to be a bit more comfortable and kind of open up. I know that's not kind of a specific question per se, but then just kind of delving a bit more into that. But the worst question I was ever asked was, so I had to, bear in mind, this job was for a job in St. Albans, which is where I was living at the time. But the guy, this was like the second stage interview, he was in Birmingham that day, and he made me, obviously I could have said no, but I was young and I needed a job, whatever. My first job out of uni, I went up to Birmingham that day. Bear in mind, the job was in St. Albans. So I traveled from St. Albans to Birmingham because he was in Birmingham. I can't even remember how the rest of the interview went. I ended up not taking, I don't even think I was offered it, but I would not have taken it. But he basically at the end, and we sort of had a chat, and then he was just kind of looking at me from across the room. It was for like a recruitment job, and he was like, you need two things for the job, Matt. You need class and you need hunger. And he goes, I think you maybe have the class, but I don't know if you have the hunger. Tell me, do you have the hunger? And I just was like, just baffled by this question. And worse, I think I actually, in my mind, I was baffled, because I was like, what, 20, 21, and I was desperate for a job, and I've been interviewing all over. I tried to like convince him. I'm really hungry. Yeah, I've done this and I've done that. And I probably said I was, you know, played sport or something like that. And I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, eat a burger? To show you how hungry I am? Like, it was just so... And I think it was because it was the end of a just very kind of aggressive interview. And he was very much a sort of a agency recruitment owner, you know, the stereotypical.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm sure there are a lot of great ones. But yeah, a bit of a lad. Yeah, it was just a horrendous.
Well, you know, I'm just having flashbacks to when I graduated and I was interviewing with recruitment agencies in London. You know, getting a bus from getting a mega bus from Plymouth. For anyone listening who doesn't know what a mega bus is, this is like you can go from Plymouth to London and back, which is about a 700-mile trip for £10 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
And I just remember this one. Owner of a recruitment agency just putting his boots up on the table and then asking me to sell a pen, and I was just like, oh right, okay, like it was out of Wall Street or something.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't think this is the place for me.
Yeah, so I'm gonna decline. But yeah, so there. I'm sure we could both
tell
many stories, but
and yeah.
was fun.
And what I find interesting as well, like you just said, you love the types of questions that make people light up in a very positive way, make them open up about something they really love. Doesn't have to be gaming, just some way to like start a conversation, a really positive note, and get get talking and find out what they're interested in and these sorts of things. And then the flip reverse is like that person asking you those interview questions, you're just like, well, really? This is really making me not want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It is very much at the other end of the spectrum. So yeah, but Matt, I've really enjoyed the chat. It's gone by so fast. So I really appreciate you giving us a crash course in personal branding and social media and LinkedIn and how to create goodwill and good karma so that you can, well, you know, eventually one day capitalize on it and you know, in some cases get into the games industry or get the opportunities you want or things like that. Really, really helpful and really insightful. Yep. So thanks for that. But hey, I hope we get to catch each other soon.
Yeah.
And thanks again for taking the time.
Yeah, cheers, man. Really good to see you. Always good to see you. Really enjoyed myself. Yeah, went really quick. And yeah, we will talk soon.
Yeah.